Thank you, Bev. You have a lovely last name. I'm Greg Nichols, and it's an honor to get to spend a few minutes with you this morning. You know, a couple weeks ago, Jack Lotel, who started the service this morning, kind of cornered me in coffee hour and said, "Hey, we'd like you to say a few words at John's service." I said, "Oh, at the reception?" He said, "No, I got to do the introduction. We thought you could take care of the service part." I said, "Okay." And as we got closer to today, I started to get a little bit nervous and a little bit nervous and a little more nervous. Until Friday, when my wife and I met up with my daughter, Brittany, for lunch. Now, Brittany's birthday is today. She turns 26, like a few people feel a little older. And as we were chatting, she asked me, "Well, what are you doing this weekend?" I said, "Well, I need to set aside a little bit of time to put some thoughts together for Sunday." She said, "For the Jubilee?" I said, "Yeah, for the Jubilee." She said, "I have a thought for you." I said, "Oh, okay." She said, "Interpretive dance." I said, "What?" She said, "Nothing says Jubilee like interpretive dance." She said, "So if you lose your train of thought or need to fill a little time, interpretive dance." Nobody wants to see that. This little country church has been my second home since I was born. It's hard to believe that I was a cute little baby and used to sit in that back pew with my parents and my sister Bev. And my mom tells me I used to bang on the wall when I got a little bored with being in church and like almost saying, "Come on, let's hurry up, let's get this over with." She said even one Sunday, Reverend Kaufman was the minister here at the time. During his sermon, I guess I was throwing a fit and she stood up to carry me out. And from the pulpit, she heard, "Where are you going? That baby isn't bothering anybody. You sit back down." She said she was never so embarrassed. I was 6 years old when you started your ministry. There's been a lot of water that's run under that bridge since then. And when I look back over my past, I sometimes have a problem where the first thing that comes to mind are times when I weren't at my best. You know, it's not a good habit, but it just happens. When we were kids in this church, we would have Sunday school for an hour, and then there'd be a half-hour break, and then we'd have church for an hour, and then coffee hour after that. So as a young kid, you were here for 3 hours on a Sunday morning, and it's hard to behave for 3 hours on a Sunday morning. And my dad was a tough guy. He was a beautiful man, but he wanted things done his way. And he never really punished us, but he put us in our place, and you'd feel like you disappointed him, and that was worse than anything else. But there were different degrees of getting into trouble. At home, you could get away with most things, as long as Mom wasn't in tears by the time he got home from work. A little bit worse was if you got in trouble at school or on report card day, I tended to give up TV for a couple months. It was almost like having Lent a couple times a year. But the worst of all was getting in trouble at church. So I was about 7 or 8 years old. My dad found me standing in the hallway downstairs, outside of the Sunday school classroom door that I had just been kicked out of for being a bit disruptive, by the Sunday school teacher who happened to be my mom. Oh boy, let the good times roll. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, this church was my village. It still is. The people that I've come in contact with here have had a huge effect on my life, and John, you're certainly one of those people. And I wonder, you know, as I think about moments in my life, what else was happening in the world at the same time? And John, I can't help but think that when I was a young child and needed a village to help me along the way, I didn't know you, but you were there. Maybe not for me, but for a child just like me, you were there. And I was 8 years old and had to have open heart surgery and spent a lot of time in the hospital, alone and scared. I didn't know you then, but you were there. And as a teenager, struggling to figure out where my life might lead, I didn't know you then, but you were there. When I celebrated my wedding and my children were born, and I watched my little girls celebrate their baptism, I didn't know you, but I know you were there. And when I said goodbye to my mom and suffered through all the pain and hurt, I didn't know you, but you were there. And when this little country church needed someone to help us find our way, I knew you then, because you were here. You know, this morning, I was thinking that I don't think I shared with you the story from my perspective of the first time that we met. So we'll forget the rest of these notes and just kind of work without a net here and see what happens. Interpretive dance, huh? I've kind of always felt, and you've told us, that to really live your faith, you need to leave a little room. And sometimes you need to just get out of your own way and let God come in and help you figure out what comes next. Well, this church, over the years, has had its ups and downs. And a few years ago, we were in a valley. Almost in a sinkhole, but we were in a valley. We had had a hard time. We were pretty beat up. And our pastor, who had been here for a number of years, had accepted a call closer to home down by Groton. And we had had a part-time pastor in here who kind of felt like it was time for us to close the doors and call it a day. And that relationship had run its course. And we didn't have anybody. We were working together to keep the doors open and keep this church going. And at the same time, we started a pastoral search. And I found myself chair of that committee. Still wonder how that happened. And I was terrified. I knew if we didn't make the right choice, this church probably wouldn't be here anymore. So I prayed for guidance in hope that someone would come and show us how to make things a little better. So the way it works, we had a committee of members of the church, and they work on their own. And we receive profiles from the state office. So each church is independent, but there's a group above us that support us. And one of the things they do is they send us profiles of ministers that are looking for jobs. So they'll send their profiles to the state, and they'll do background checks and whatever else they need to do, and then they'll forward them to the churches. So we were in that process, and Susan gave me a call. Our secretary is sitting back there. She said, "Hey, I got a profile that just came in." I said, "Wonderful." She said, "This one's a little different." She said, "This one came direct to the church. It didn't go through the state." And I thought, well, if you could please let that person know that they need to send it through the state first, and eventually it will get to us. That profile was from John. It was almost like God was saying, "Hey, you asked for a little help? Here you go." So about a week and a half later, I was in bothering Susan. I don't know why. I think everybody needs a hobby, and one of mine is just bothering Susan. And she had a list of, 12, 15 ministers on her desk who did pulpit supply. And the people that we normally had in here to fill in were all booked up. So we were going by this list, and it's, we didn't know the people, but you pick a name and you hope things work out. And she said, "You know, the person coming this Sunday, I've never had such an enjoyable time putting the service together. It's been wonderful." "Really?" "Yeah, it's John Pelletier." It's like God saying again, Here you go. So John came and filled in for the Sunday. And just before the service, Susan called me and said, you know, that profile we got, it's the same guy who's going to be here on Sunday. Oh, that's interesting. And John came and, well, John was John. We had a wonderful, wonderful service. You know, there's a light inside you. And it has nothing to do with abbreviations that are before your name. There's just something about you that draws people to you. And the service was wonderful. And it was like someone had opened up an old house and a new breeze had come in. And it was like God was saying, hey, are you listening? Here he is. And just to be sure, before I could get out of my seat, a couple people came up to me, and Gene Smith was one of them, with the finger. He said, you need to find somebody just like him. Someone else said, gee, if we could only find somebody like John. Of course, they didn't know that you had already applied. And I said, okay, God, I'll stop worrying. We're in good hands now. You know, we talked about a reading last week in John. The wind blows where it chooses. And you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Sometimes you just need to get out of the way and let the wind blow. You are a remarkable man. And I am so honored that I get to spend a little bit of time with you. And on behalf of everyone here at this little country church, and all your friends and family that are here today, and all the people over the years that you have touched, just need to say thank you. Amen.